It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a podcast to step to. Think of all the weak-ass segments you slept through. Time's up. Sorry I kept you. To give it up to Rakim there out of New York. Let's start here.
It is my pleasure to present the Medal of Honor Life-Saving Award to Ivy Nguyen.
Love this story right here. All new at 8 tonight. This evening, the city of Santa Ana recognizing a young hero. The quick thinking, a teenage girl saved another teen's life at a poolside. She did it using CPR skills she had learned in the Girl Scouts.
See, her dad, yeah. So proud, right?
Yeah.
Well, the 15-year-old will also be awarded the National Girl Scout Medal of Honor. Tonight, KCAL News reporter Rena Nakano spoke with her and the young man she saved.
It was supposed to be a fun day at the pool.
A group hangout for my brother's friends, and I just came to tag along.
But June 28th, 2023 ended up being a day Brandon Vu will never forget. The then 16-year-old was playing a game with his friends on how long he could hold his breath underwater. But after a few attempts, family friend Ivy Nguyen noticed he wasn't coming back up for air.
I look underwater first, and I was like, yeah, he's not okay. I pulled his arm up, and his lips were purple.
She yelled at an adult to pull him out and call 911.
Put him around like this area right here.
The 15-year-old took the lead and immediately gave him CPR.
I kind of did this and then I started doing compressions like this and then he started gasping for air.
While going to the ER, the fire department notified Brandon's mother who had just lost her own mother.
God, please don't do this to me again.
After 5 hours in the hospital, Brandon regained consciousness and went home. Emergency responders credited his survival to Ivy.
Center at the breastbone.
Just a few months before the incident, Ivy got CPR training at a Girl Scout event where she earned her first aid patch.
The diamonds one were when I was a cadet.
Since joining the Scouts in the fifth grade, Ivy has earned many patches. She's now a senior leader in her troop. Brandon says he's eternally grateful.
She's one of the best people I know. She's really thoughtful of everyone around her.
Ivy says she'll continue her activities with the Scouts, but as for Brandon's mom, she has other plans.
Brandon, you own her your life. Maybe you need to marry her.
All jokes aside, Ivy hopes what happened last year inspires others to do the right thing.
I really hope that my younger Girl Scouts, you know, look up to this and they know that it's important to, like, stand up and, like, take the lead when things like these are happening, whether it be, like, this incident or, like, bullying or anything.
In Santa Ana, I'm Rena Nakano, KCAL News.
And no additional comment. I just thought that would be a constructive place to start. Now, we head on over to CNN. What's going on with John Fetterman?
A senior administration official tells CNN that President Biden told Prime Minister Netanyahu that the U.S. will not participate in any offensive operations against Iran. Do you think that's the right call, or should direct U.S. military action, as some of your colleagues in the Senate are suggesting, should that be on the table?
Okay, so John Fetterman, the basics to know, is John Carl Fetterman, is a junior United States Senator from Pennsylvania, elected in 2022 on what one might call a progressive ticket for the Democratic Party. Former mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania. This was from 2006 to 2019. And also was the 34th lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania from 2019 to 2023, which was, of course, when he was sworn into Congress. And since then has changed a few positions, one might say. How does John Fetterman answer?
I don't agree with that, you know, and I'm just think we should follow and have Israel's back in the situation. I don't agree with the president. That doesn't change anything that he's a fantastic president, and I'm proud to stand with him and campaign for him and vote for him.
Marco Rubio was just on the show, and he said the White House leaking the fact that Biden told Netanyahu not to directly respond, to take the win, quote unquote, was offensive to him because it seemed to suggest that it's Biden trying to appease the far left in his party. What's your response?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the president is entitled to his own views and whatever he decides to do. But I would never capitulate to the fringe. I'll never pander to that as well. In fact, that helps, that empowers Hamas.
Okay. You see, it empowers Hamas. The left in America empowers Hamas. These are things that we learned about John Fetterman going into the winter of this year after Israel decided to go super hard after October 7th. And there was actually an interesting moment when an author, can I pronounce his name well? Dan Kovalik confronted John Fetterman. Let's run it back on over to ABC News 4 WTAE with Marcy Cipriani.
Dan Kovalik admits he came to Shorty's here at the waterfront to confront Senator John Fetterman and ask him to support a ceasefire in the Middle East. But he says he was surprised when he was kicked out instead. Watch. This is the question to Senator John Fetterman that created the chaos.
And the question on screen, as the audio is kind of poor as they're inside the event with music and whatnot, the question reads, in quote, "Why aren't you supporting a humanitarian ceasefire?"
I voted for him. I'm sorry, this is a democracy.
That is Dan Kovalik, this time responding to someone off camera wanting to answer for the senator.
10,000 people in Gaza have been killed, half of children. The Pope's calling for a ceasefire.
Right, he's saying 10,000 people have been killed in Gaza, half are children. And this is from October 30th, 2023.
The UN is called for. I'm just asking you. You're a good guy. I voted for you. I know you're a nice guy. This is important.
You need to leave.
Here, can I give you a phone?
With that, Kovalik was escorted away from Senator Fetterman, who was hosting this event for Sarah Inamorato.
There's something great about Fetterman. Part of his hustle up in the game was wearing like baggy basketball shorts, right? Like that was like reported on. And now the guy who's pushing out the author, who is saying this person I voted for and I want them to call for a ceasefire, he's being pushed out by security with their hat on backwards and a hoodie. The streets are taking over. Oh man, it's terrible.
Away from Senator Fetterman, who was hosting this event for Sarah Inamorato's campaign for county executive.
I feel like I did what I wanted to do. I wanted to raise this issue with my senator. I did. He decided he didn't want to engage with me.
In a statement, a member of Senator Fetterman's office writes, "The person who removed the man at the event last night was the owner of the establishment. He does not work for John's Senate office or his campaign. John values civil discourse with all of his constituents, including last night when he had productive conversations with other constituents who disagreed with his position on Israel and Gaza and many who support it."
And I simply went there to say, hey, I want you to consider this because there are lives being lost.
Kovalik says he was disappointed he never even received a response from Senator Fetterman.
And he's really being pushed out, like he's being forced to walk backwards, like the hat on backwards man is like seriously shoving him all the way out step by Father Muckin step. Shout out to Dan Kovalik.
Before he was forced out by a man dressed up as him. We reached out to the owner of...
So the guy was literally dressed as John Fetterman. You see, now that is being a fan of an image as opposed to a good faith supporter of policy positions. All right. Let's get to the end of this news clip brought to us by Marcy Cipriani for ABC4.
Of Shorty's, who we are told is the man on video escorting Kovalik out. But so far, we have not heard back. At the waterfront, Marcy Cipriani, Pittsburgh's Action News 4.
I just wanted to hear the whole little music segment from there. All right. And so I chose that moment for the jump back to the past because I think it it represents the broader experience of those that were like, hey, all right, that Fetterman cat seems like he's going to be all right. And then it was like, no, he's super not all right. He's actually the opposite of all right, you know. And that's the direction things went. So now we go back over here to John Fetterman's most recent performance on CNN. Now, let's remember how, remember when South Africa spoke up about the genocide taking place via Gaza.
Condemns South Africa's decision to play advocate for the devil and to make itself criminally complicit with the perpetrators of the October 7 massacre. On October 7, South Africa openly aligned itself with the Hamas rapist regime.
And that's the McCarthyism at play, right? The McCarthyism is always at play. Everyone who ain't down with us is aligned with Hamas, just is Hamas. Fuck you, nigga, you Hamas. So, from there, here's a recent upload from, again, the Fetterman himself.
And we also have to start having, you know, all kinds of Democrats criticizing the president, too, publicly. I don't understand why. I don't know what's in it for you to do that, whether you're just chasing clout or you want to make it in the news or anything like that.
Chasing clout. Man, I just, God, black people, we got to stop using our vernacular publicly. We need to just have secret meetings in Compton and just be like, these are the words we're using. This is how we're going to use it. Keep it in house. Yep. That is where it's gone from. I hear in regular political discourse, I hear hater. I remember like hater got co-opted into that and it's just used in the silliest way. And here we have John Fetterman making a staunch argument for the boot and using the language chasing clout. And of course, this upload comes from an MSNBC appearance on Morning Joe.
But if you're not willing to just support the president now and say these kinds of things, you might as well just get your MAGA hat because you now are helping Trump at this.
And now get your MAGA hat because you're helping Trump. You're down with them, you're Hamas. Fuck it. You're down with them, then you're Trump. The fascist always has to call the anti-fascist a fascist because the fascist knows that they are in the ideological minority and that they're bad. Right? Like, what do people that are in the party right now, right? They go and they vote party line ticket Republican down party line. Who else votes Republican ticket down party line with them? Ku Klux Klan members. But what will these people that vote along line with the Ku Klux Klan members say? Democrats started the Klan, which is demonstrably false and silly as well. Now, there is an article up by the folks over at Axios, which is funny because the tweet, I don't know why they captioned the tweet the way they did. It's not the same as what you see in the article. What you find out in the article is that, for the most part, this is Fetterman pushback against Biden taking a slight step in the direction where the left might be. And it's really a Fetterman thing and not like a both sides of the internal aisle thing. In that same article from Axios, which we'll go back to in a second here, is Chris Coons is mentioned. Chris Coons, let's run over in this direction here. We're looking at 2018, article up by Elena Score. All right, this is for the folks over at Political and co-authored by Burgess Everett. And the headline is Meet the GOP's Favorite Democrat. Chris Coons, Wilmington, Delaware, recognizes that his repeated dalliances with Republicans could aggravate his party's left wing enough to put his job at risk. But he just can't help himself. On issues from immigration to judicial nominations to Iran, the Delaware Democrat is cutting against his party's leftward shift and building close relationships with Republicans that have heightened his influence in the clubby state. Coons is fashioning himself in the mold of the senator he succeeded, the former Vice President Joe Biden. And this is to the frustration of his party's restive liberal base. All right. And Chris Coons, who they talk about in this article, again, headlined Meet the GOP's Favorite Democrat. Now, when we go back to the recent Axios article, it's noted that Chris Coons, quote, told the State of the Union, he thinks, quote, we should take a breath and analyze what the consequences might be of an attack back on Iran by Israel or any other escalation, end quote. So even Chris Coons is like, yeah, nah, let's not go hard. Let's not do a drive-by today. Today, let's just have a little house party, get some 40 ounces, do some pop-locking and crip-walking. Maybe not a drive-by today. Maybe we go to the studio and just rap about doing a drive-by, and hopefully people will vote for us by buying the next album. Horrible metaphor. Now, John Bolton was on CNN, and no need for the clip. John Bolton is a Republican and wants escalation. Yeah, in the calling Biden an embarrassment and whatnot, of course. And now that's John Bolton on the Republican side. Now let's get to the progressive. John Fetterman.
Senator, what is your reaction to Iran's attack on Israel, and how worried are you that this is the beginning of an open war between the two countries?
All right. Let's hear what the hooded gentleman is going to say.
Well, a couple of things, actually. I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general. And I'm here for that. And I think it's just a matter of theater part of it as well, too. And it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
Okay, maybe that wasn't a horrible metaphor, as you can turn to, I believe this was somewhere around like early 1993 gangster rap right here. And this is a Kelly Park Compton Crip, Eric Wright. And let the real shit provoke. So you don't wanna be low, then you'll get smoked. And I hope that your fans. And you'll get smoked. And hold up. What did Fetterman say when he was just talking shit right there?
Fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general.
After Israel, wait, did what? What might happen? And let the real shit provoke. So you don't wanna be low, then you'll get smoked. And I hope that your fans. All right, Gangsta Fetterman, call him Easy Fed. Oh no, it's Fetterman. What, John Fetterman? Yeah, he needs a gangster rap name. Someone leave a comment somewhere. Yo, what is John Fetterman's gangster rap name? And we will refer to him as that from now. Or, you know, from when you suggested. Man, let's carry ourselves on over to Next 9 News for a short brief from Denver, Colorado.
A year after a Denver Public Schools whistleblower on this program sent the district scrambling to explain its safety and security policies, another whistleblower has emerged. A top former communications employee who says that the DPS superintendent has quietly taken steps to keep information from the public and from the school board, the superintendent's bosses. Will Jones served as the executive director of communications for DPS for 9 years, till February. At a school board meeting last night, he claimed that this man, Superintendent Alex Marrero, is mandating that district employees sign non-disclosure agreements, confidentiality agreements. Jones told our partners at the Denver Gazette that he refused to sign an agreement prohibiting him from talking about what went on in the district for 3 years after his employment. Jones says the district withheld his severance package as a result. According to Jones, the former top communications guy, the superintendent also insisted that district staffers withhold information from school board members.
In fact, your employee came to my office one day and told me if board members come to me with questions, not to answer them, to politely refer them to him, and he would do the responding.
This is not the first time the DPS has faced scrutiny over transparency issues. Last year, the district fired a school administrator after he raised school safety concerns about kids charged with violent crimes, including attempted murder, being placed back in classrooms. A district spokesperson acknowledged that the non-disclosure agreements for the communications team in DPS are new. They were presented to them earlier this year. The district describes them as a way to remind staffers of privacy laws.
All right, folks, let's get to the closing of this. It's 4:42 a.m. I really do have a shift to get to. Kinda? Yeah, sure, whatever. I have a shift to get to. Let's wrap it up right here. I don't know. I want to classify this as a white-on-white crime. This is just silly business. No way to behave. Coming off of Fox 29 Philadelphia.
Firefighters are supposed to put out fires, but authorities say a Delaware County firefighter set these flames right next door to his home. And Chris, that firefighter, a teenager, is now charged with arson and off the job tonight.
All right. Teenage firefighters setting fires and getting fired. All right, let's fire it up. What do you have for us, Chris, man on the street?
He is, Sheba, and members here at the Yadin Fire Department say they are shocked and they are angered by the allegations that one of their own, who promised to protect this community from fire, is now accused of setting one.
Black smoke. So we thought someone's house was on fire. A lot of black smoke. Then I heard the fire engines.
Robin Corbin was watching as fire consumed the 2012 Land Rover in the back alley of the 400 block of South 2nd Street in Colwyn last Thursday. What she learned today is the person who lives right next door to that fire is accused of setting it. 18-year-old Abner Roberts, a junior firefighter with neighboring Yadin Fire Department, is now charged with arson, reckless endangerment, and seven other crimes. Officials say Roberts actually tried to help firefighters put out the blaze with a garden hose, and once he...
Nigga! With a garden hose? So my man sets a fire on a vehicular, then... decides to clock in and says, you know what? Now that I'm on the job, there's a fire to put out. Was he trying to do his own orientation? I think he's supposed to be trained by a trainer.
He was questioned by Darby police. Roberts admitted to setting the fire. Luckily, no one was hurt.
It's very concerning because if my house is on fire, are you going to rescue me or are you going to stand there and watch it burn?
Roberts was immediately suspended following his arrest. In a statement to Fox 29, Yadin's fire chief says the reprehensible actions of this individual does not represent this department or the fire service as a whole.
Everyone's supposed to say that. I get it. Oh, God, wait. Their name is Shahid Summers. Ooh, yeah, you better get out there and make a statement, nigga. I get it. I get it, Shahid.
The department says Roberts passed mandated background checks, but tonight the people Roberts serves are left wondering.
I think that's very mind-boggling to be a firefighter and start your own fire for your own people to come put it out. There's something really not right with that.
Now, I spoke with Robert's father tonight. He says his son is waiting on a public defender as he remains in the Delaware County Correctional Facility on 10% of $75,000 bail. He is due back in court, Sheba, on April 24th.
All right. And we're going to rock out with that. All right. Firefighter sets a fire, gets fired. And I don't know, man, garden hose. All right, be as on fire as possible wherever you are. And hey, the Girl Scout story was cool, huh?